Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. May we continue to worship him, the one who is everything to all people. What a wonderful Savior we have. First and foremost, that he saved us from our sins, gave us hope of eternal life, the joy of living, comes in and dwells us, guides us in the truth of his ways. Jesus is all the world to me. He's everything. Praise his name. Are you anchored in him this morning? Do you find refuge in him? I too have enjoyed the worship so far this morning, the challenges of our responsibility as the people of God to spread the gospel and the good news of what God has done for us, what he has done for you personally, to those that God brings into your life. But we know that life is not without its challenges. Life is not without its difficulties. Life is not without trials and tests. But may we allow the challenges and tests of life to draw us closer to him. As we sang in one of the earlier songs this morning, it was so touching as I thought of this morning's message. The title of this morning's message is Rooted and Built Up in Him. Rooted and built up in him. That's taken from Colossians chapter 2. We'll go there in just a bit. But the importance of being rooted and built up in Christ. Just a week and a half or so ago, some of you know better than the rest of us, a major storm went through this area. And this message was laid on my heart as a result of that, I guess. As that storm went through, that storm had a way of testing some things. And I was down through country earlier in the week. You saw the results of the test of those winds and that storm that went through. At one place I saw what I would guess would have been a 36-inch oak that was torn out by the roots and laying in someone's lawn. How many years old is a 36-inch oak? Ronald, you maybe could tell us. You worked with trees. I believe so. Probably twice as old, maybe, would be my guess.
Maybe 3 times.
Could be. As I saw that big oak laying in that front lawn, I thought, you know, how many storms did that oak tree go through? And it withstood them. But it succumbed to this one. What was it about this storm that overtook the strength of the roots? You know, and that was the other thing that impressed me when I saw the massive root system that lay there in that root ball as the big tree lay in the lawn there. You know, we see the beauty of trees, we see the beauty of plant life, but beneath all of that is a root system that is just amazing. Just amazing. And it's so important that root system is established and grounded in something. In plant life, it's important that it's rooted and grounded in rich, fertile soil. The more rich and fertile the soil is, the more established and healthy the plant will be, the tree will be. So it is in the Christian life. Are we grounded? Are we rooted in Christ? That is the richest place to be grounded. That is the only safe place to be grounded. But just earlier we sang, takes me back to that thought again, that song we sung this morning, Beneath His Wings. There is a safe and secret place beneath the wings divine, reserved for all the heirs of grace. Oh, be that refuge mine. Make that personal this morning for your life. It's there reserved for all the heirs of grace. Oh, be that refuge mine. The least and feeblest there may bide, uninjured and unawed. While thousands fall on every side, he rests secure in God. Praise the Lord. He feeds in pastures large and fair, of love and truth divine. O child of God, O glory heir, how rich a lot is thine. A hand almighty to defend, an ear for every call, an honored life, a peaceful end, and heaven to crown it all. And so, for the child of God, who is rooted and built up, and as Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, talks about being rooted and grounded in him, Colossians says rooted and built up in him. As a child of God this morning, are you rooted and built up, grounded, established in Christ? How can we be rooted and established and grounded in him? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. See where our text is this morning and where we'll pull our points from. To allow God, we trust, to challenge us and to draw us closer to him. To grow in our appreciation for the provisions of Christ for each of his children, each of us here this morning, and for the needs of all mankind. Our great God. He has the resources. He has made the provisions for all mankind. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's for whosoever will. It's available. The resources, the provision is there, and the resources are there for all the world. Praise his name. Here in Colossians chapter 2, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And we'll just read two verses here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We'll just continue reading there. So very challenging and very encouraging phrases tucked in these two short verses. And we'd just like to dissect those two verses this morning and pull from those two verses 6 points that I trust will help to fortify us, encourage us, and help us to be, as our title suggested, rooted and built up in him. Our first point this morning, taken right from this verse, is receive Christ. Chapter 2, verse 7, the very beginning of the verse. Not verse 6, I'm sorry. As ye have therefore received Christ. Receive Christ. If we are going to be rooted and grounded in him, we first of all must receive him. It's a personal choice that each one of us needs to make this morning, whether or not we will receive Christ. We were studying in our lesson this morning about the children of Israel, God's own people, the Jews, who Jesus came to meet the spiritual needs of, and they rejected him. It was a personal choice that they needed to make in their time, and it continues to be a personal choice for us today. If we're going to be rooted and built up in him, it's made available. Salvation is made available. It takes a response from us. Turn with me to John chapter 1. The thought of the importance and the choice, the decision, whether or not we will receive Christ. My mind went to this passage. John chapter 1. We'll read a number of verses here, but we're going to especially focus on verses 11 and 12, where it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we'll highlight these verses as we read down through, beginning at verse 5 through verse 14. I'll read, start at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's so sad that creation didn't even recognize its creator. Pointing directly to mankind. God, our creator, may we always recognize him as our creator. How it must have torn the heart of God to have his own people reject the Savior of the world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. As we receive Christ, we then become rooted and built up in him. But it starts with that first personal choice. To be a follower of Jesus Christ. That takes us just a page later in your Bible to John chapter 3. Where we have that account of Nicodemus. As we're now continuing our thought about receiving Jesus. Again this morning, if we're going to be rooted and built up in him, we need to receive him. A very familiar account in John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in the context of what we're talking about here this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot be rooted and built up in Christ. Nicodemus, verse 4, saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And so this morning, if you want the testimony of that song that we sang, where we can be anchored in Jesus, rooted in him, first and foremost, if you want that to be your experience, if you want to be rooted and built up in him, you first of all must receive him. Very simple, the call of salvation. Point number two. Walk in him. If we're going to be rooted and built up in him, we need to walk in him. We have that there in our text passage, chapter 2, the last part of verse 7. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. So point number two this morning is walk in him. Are you walking in Christ this morning? To experience his fullness, to experience his security, the refuge that he wants us to enjoy, we need to be walking in him. Walking in the Spirit, walking in Christ, fellowshipping with him, the believer's walk. It's a new life. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That was Romans 6 and verse 4. If you're going to be rooted and built up in him, you're going to have to be walking that new walk. We could turn to other passages where the Apostle Paul wrote to the various churches, and he reminds them of the previous life and the new life that they are walking. If you're going to experience the full power of God and have the roots of your life buried in him, you're going to need to be walking with him in this newness of life, separate from sin, separate from a walk of the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, walking that new life. Galatians 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're going to have our roots deep down in Christ, we're going to be walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It takes my thoughts to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. If you are walking in the Spirit this morning, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you, you are sensitive to his wooings and his direction, you will find your anchor, your roots deep in Christ, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. A worthy walk. One that gives testimony to a holy life. Consistent testimony to holy living. That was Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5, 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, consistently, not as fools, but as wise. 1 John 1, verse 7, but walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We need to walk in the light to have our roots anchored in him. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, a Christ-like walk. If we're going to be anchored in him, rooted in him, built up in him, we need to be walking in him. First of all, receive him. Secondly, walk in him. Our third point this morning, going back to our text passage here in Colossians, taken from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the first little phrase is rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. Do you have your roots deep in Christ this morning? I'd like to turn just a few pages back and see how the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, very similar to the words here, but I like them on this point. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That is so rich and powerful. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is rich and powerful this morning, dear ones. The riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, that we might be strengthened in his Spirit by the might of his Spirit in the inner man. He goes on and talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And then he gives a similar quote to what we have in Colossians, that being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians says rooted and built up in him, Jesus Christ. Here he says rooted and grounded in love. But you know, true love and God cannot be separated. If you're anchored in God, you're anchored in his love. You're experiencing his love, and you're manifesting his love in your life, rooted and built up in him. As we face the challenges and tests of life, we find our anchor in him. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. A subject in itself, the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness. All the fullness. How much fuller can you get than that? This morning, my Bible margin says spiritual fullness. That's rich. That's invigorating, empowering for the child of God this morning. If we're going to be rooted and built up in him, that needs to be our experience. Point number four, established in the faith. Colossians chapter 2, our text passage, verse 8, the second phrase there, be established in the faith. We need to be steadfastly established in the faith this morning. Just a few verses to challenge us and encourage us this morning to be steadfast. Steadfastly unmoved in the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God made every provision, but man needs to respond in full faith and trust and confidence and commitment. If we're going to be anchored, rooted in Jesus, it takes a commitment. A commitment of steadfastness. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Galatians 5, verse 1, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you have experienced in Jesus Christ, and you will be rooted and grounded in him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. A diligent effort, individually and collectively, to stand fast in the spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 2 Peter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And we know there are many pressures that come to bear in life. We need to have our roots deep in Christ, rooted and built up in him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A few pages later in your Bibles, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Christ wants to comfort us and establish us in every good word and work. And I love that phrase, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Through grace this morning, that is made possible. Our fifth point, taken from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, as you have been taught. As you have been taught. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I look into a group of people who has been blessed because we have been taught. We have been taught not man's ways. We've been taught the ways of God. the ways of the Scripture. And it's such an anchor. We need to have our lives, our roots, deep into the ways of God, deep into the Scriptures. They will stand, then we can stand the tests of life. Again, my thoughts go back to that big oak tree that finally didn't stand the severe test that it took. What was it about this test that came that caused it to topple that it didn't face before? Were its roots beginning to die off? I'm not sure we know. But we face tests in life. And may we, as the people of God, we have a rich heritage. We've been taught the ways of God. But to continue in those ways, it takes maintenance. It takes maintenance. We find that maintenance in meditating on God's word, through prayer, through fellowship, assembling with God's people, encouraging one another in the things of God. It is spiritual therapy. It is maintenance. Maybe that's what that oak tree didn't get. Maybe it wasn't cared for properly, that it finally succumbed to the storm that came. But may we maintain our spiritual life. May we value the things that we have been taught. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. May we value what we've been taught. The traditions of our fathers that are based on the Scriptures, that have proven to be a blessing to God's people and keep them separated from the world, we need to respect and value and make application to our time and the challenges that we face in the world in which we live and find ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a couple of verses from there, just a couple of pages later in your Bible, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, these familiar verses. verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Taught the Scriptures from a child. I believe that's the experience of everyone I see sitting here under my voice this morning. You've been taught the things of God from a child. In my own life and experience, I remember going to preschool class and being taught the things of God. Going to the primary class, the junior class, the intermediate class back at Railroad Avenue. Paul Fried was a Sunday school teacher before he was ordained minister. Your mind just reflects on what you've been taught and the journey of life. And I think about that sometimes as I see our little boys and girls growing up among us. And it's easy for us to forget what all has gone into our lives and what has made us to be who we are, and the impressions that are being left on our children as they remember the things that Brother Jesse and Brother Ronald, Brother Linford, Brother Merle, and all the rest of you have said and taught us. And you sisters in the Sunday school class, as you teach. And you fathers in your homes, as you teach. And you refer to the Scriptures. And you encourage your children in the ways of God. And you mothers in the homes, as you teach and encourage your sons and daughters in the ways of God, as we have been taught. May we respect those ways. It is part of the anchoring and rooting deep into the love of God and the person of Jesus Christ. It's an anchor for their souls, as it has been for us. We thank the Lord for that. And that is our sixth and final point. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's also taken from Colossians 2, the last phrase in verse 8, abounding therein with thanksgiving. May I once again this morning encourage us to be a thankful people. We must be a thankful people. Now, you can't be a thankful person if you don't have anything to be thankful for, can you? Is it possible to be a thankful person and have nothing to be thankful for? That would be difficult. But this morning, we have much to be thankful for. Even in the midst of challenges and trials and testing, we must be thankful. It will undergird us. And if our roots are deep in Christ, I believe we can find those things to rejoice in. We are encouraged in the scriptures to express thanksgiving, to feel thanksgiving in our hearts. I believe God expects to hear songs of praise and thanksgiving and worship, expressions of song and praise and thanksgiving flow from our lips as we walk the journey of life from day to day. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. And I believe that expression of thanksgiving that should flow from the heart and lips of the child of God is a result of being anchored and rooted in him. But I believe also to give expression of thanksgiving causes those roots to even grow more firmly established in him. It's both a result of and a growing in that relationship if we continually praise him, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Show forth the praises of him. We have so much to thank him for. Psalm 35, 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. And the shepherds, Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, often wonder what it would have been like to be in there with the shepherds. As they were on the hill watching their sheep, and that great message came that there was a Messiah born. And they said, let's go now and see what this is that has been shared with us. And they went and saw, and then it says in Luke 2 verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. How much glorifying and praising God do I do for all that he has done for me? I believe if we're anchored in him, rooted in him, built up in him this morning, thanksgiving will be an integral part of our walk of life. And again, it will cause our roots to grow even deeper in him. It will cause our relationship to grow in him. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 107, 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And on and on and on the list goes of things to thank the Lord for and rejoice in him for. The spiritual blessings that we have in him, the provisions, the peace of heart and soul. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A thankful people. Again, I believe the child of God who is rooted in Christ, rooted in his love, will be giving expressions of thanksgiving, feeling thanksgiving in his heart, and that will cause his roots to grow even deeper. Cause that relationship to grow. And so this morning, dear ones, are you rooted and built up in him? The soil is there. The place to anchor our lives is available in Christ, in God, through grace, through the Holy Spirit. May we take the encouragement of the Apostle Paul and be rooted in him, grounded in him, established in him. Again, we first of all must receive Christ, if that's going to be our experience. We must walk in him, rooted and be built up in him, established in the faith, as we have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. And it will be a satisfying life as we are rooted in Jesus Christ. May God bless you, each one of you, in the journey of life, where you find yourself. Anchor yourself in Jesus. Anchor yourself in the Holy Spirit. Anchor yourself in God. And you can be unmoved. We have hope of eternal life. Glory to his name. May God bless each one of you. Shall we pray?